Hello and welcome to the Jim Stroud Show. If you would please, young lady, let us know who you are and what you do.
I am Lynn Lusby Pratt, former missionary to Japan, but a Kentucky hillbilly at heart. I've been an editor for a long time, and now I do a lot of helping people understand the occult, cults, world religions, and how some of those teachings are, unfortunately, mingling with Christianity.
Very interesting. Very interesting. How did you get involved with the occult?
I've studied it my whole life.
Not that you are an occultist, just asking.
Well, as little kids, my sister and I, we liked spooky stuff. We liked the 1930s Dracula movies, you know, that kind of stuff. And then, unfortunately, we had an experience with a Ouija board that was not good. But I kind of realized then that, you know, Satan wants to trick us. And so since that time, I've never been tempted to dabble in anything like that, but I have studied it. I talk to people, you know, I talk to the Jehovah's Witnesses who come to the door, the Mormon missionaries. Of course, in Japan, I had Buddhist friends, and just always having conversations and investigating these things as they relate to Christianity and what's in the Bible.
Would you say it's important to understand the meanings of words as it pertains to theology, spirituality, and Christianity?
Yes. What I didn't realize, even though I should have, because I study these things, but about 15 years ago, there was sort of a new wave of these teachings coming into Christian books, and I didn't recognize it because some of the language was sort of just sort of vague and disguised, and words like silence. Well, I just think that means silence, but in some of the mystical teachings, it actually is more of a place. It's going into an altered state of consciousness, and the state you're in there is called the silence. But if you don't realize that, you just think go into the silence means go and, you know, sit in the porch swing and talk to God. But also, even words like Christ, if I say Christ, I mean Jesus Christ. But some of the New Age books mean like the Christ consciousness. They don't mean Jesus Christ. So you have to pay attention to what's the background of the writer and all kinds of words, Jesus and Christ, meditation, and then a lot of words that we've picked up as sort of fun from Eastern religions, like karma, nirvana, Zen. You see those in TV commercials all the time.
Sure.
And we've given those kind of a trendy meaning. But the real meaning is actually very dark and heavy. And so Christians wouldn't want to actually be involved in those things. You know, nirvana, we're supposed to feel like that means heaven, but it actually is like soul extinction in the Eastern religion teachings. When you go into nirvana, you as you no longer exist. Whereas heaven, it's you only better. So these terms, you need to know what they really mean before you get on board and start talking as if those things mix with Christianity.
Yeah, well, I know a lot of innocent or well-meaning people, they may think that religion is religion, it's all the same. What are the dangers of mixing religions? Someone may say being in a Zen state is the same as, I guess, communing with the Holy Spirit, and some people may think it's the same thing. when they mix those words up. What do you think of that?
Right. So there is this this idea that you can mix the religions. They all basically teach the same thing. Mm. And we'll call that interspirituality, mixing the religions. But I like what one writer said, you can't really mix the religions unless you don't take any of them seriously. Because there are basic things that are totally at odds. For example, in Christianity, you have a creator God. In Buddhism, there is no creator. And yet you'll hear somebody say, well, I'm a Catholic Buddhist. Well, how can that be? And the foundational level of creator or no creator, we're already off on that. Mm. Those can't mix. And you'll hear some people talk about Chrislam, supposed to be mixing Christianity and Islam. But there are very foundational, basic differences. And so I like what that guy said. You can't really mix them unless you don't take them seriously. So what people are doing is sort of like going through a buffet line. They're picking things they like,
right,
and essentially creating their own. And so I don't think it has anything to do with truth. It's just more a feel good, and I think this works for me sort of thing. So if you're not interested in truth, or you don't think any religion could be true, then it might work to sort of roll your own. But I kind of like looking for truth and looking for evidence of things. If I'm going to believe in something or put myself in somebody else's hands, I want to know that that's trustworthy, true, that there's evidence and all that. I'm kind of on that side.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I can respect that for sure. Mm-hmm. Does it give you the impression, as it does me, that when people are mixing the religions that way, that is really a form of idolatry, because it's not you worshiping or communing with God the way he wants to be, as he laid out in his word, but it's right. The way you want it to be.
Right.
As opposed to how he is. Would you call that idolatry? Because that's how it sort of comes across to me.
That works. And again, if a person doesn't think that matters, then they're just this mixing their own. But if you want to say you're a Christian and you're following what God wants, then we're in trouble, because the whole Bible is about not mixing anything else with his true way. And I really like, there's the couple of verses at the end of Deuteronomy 12, where he's talking to the Israelites. They've come out of Egypt and they're going into Canaan, but it's a very pagan place. And he's warning them, when you get there, don't be curious about their religions and don't worship me in their way. And he calls those practices detestable. Mm. So it's hard to be serious about him and mix in some of those other things. I can't see how that can work when you really dig down and get to the bottom line.
Sure. Something you said earlier is still resonating with me a little bit. You mentioned how words are powerful and how they have different meanings, especially yes. with how to intermix them within religion.
Yeah.
You mentioned the term Christ and Christ consciousness. Mm-hmm. For those who are watching who've never heard the term or who think they're synonymous, how would you define the differences between Christ and Christ consciousness?
Yeah, well, let's go back to the 1960s.
Okay. Groovy.
When the Beatles sort of helped make the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi famous. Mm. So he came here, transcendental meditation and all that. And that was kind of cool. And the guys walking around in the orange robes.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about Krishna consciousness. Of course, Krishna is a Hindu deity.
Right.
And that wasn't going over real well in America, which was heavily Christian. And so that term sort of morphed into Christ consciousness. And then the Christians could accept that better. Oh, well, I believe in Christ and I want to be conscious of Christ. So yeah, Christ consciousness. But it didn't mean that at all. The Christ consciousness means it's that Eastern idea that all is one. There's no God separate from his creation. So there's really no good and evil, no male and female. You know, you are the wall is me, I am the flower. Everything is all one and mixed together. And so Christ consciousness is just when you become conscious, you come to the awareness that you are, quote, Christ, that is divine. You are divine because there is no difference in a human or God. So Christ consciousness is not the same thing at all of being aware of Jesus Christ or trying to walk in the path of Jesus Christ.
Wow. Wow. So it all began as a marketing ploy.
there's a lot of marketing. There's a lot of marketing. Yeah.
Some of those things you touched on, I'm looking at it from a political spectrum and I'm seeing it as left and right. Right.
Yeah.
And I see how a lot of things are happening now really sort of coincide with the thinking of there's no right or wrong. There's, you know, there's no heaven or hell or God or devil. It's just us kind of thinking. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me when you have that kind of thinking of anything goes, you sort of lose track of, or you sort of fall into some sort of depravity, right? And this is an example of what I mean. So there seems to be a really big push towards pedophilia. They're calling it minor attraction as a way of, that's another marketing spin.
Yeah.
Term pedophilia, and they're trying to teach it to as low as kindergartens. You know, I think Florida just had a big legal debate, legislation debate fight over allowing teachers to teach sexual information to kids in kindergarten.
Yes.
And there are people who see this and think, well, what's wrong with that? It makes me wonder, is it that, I'm going to get your opinion on this, is it that people are so blinded by political ideology that whatever the left says, it must be true? Or are they blinded spiritually in a sense that they can't look at something outside of a political lens and just see that that is just wrong?
Maybe both. And I don't think we should be, surprised. Mm. There's always just take one more step into the dark side. Just take one more step. And so whether, let's say on sexual topics, every individual, wherever their line is, you know, well, I think this is okay. And that next step, well, that's kind of questionable. And then further down the line, oh, I would never do that. Right. And different people may draw the line at different places, but once something sort of becomes accepted, the next thing on the scale is just waiting in the wings. Mm. And so it doesn't matter. I mean, just imagine even, we'll make it something silly. Like girls' length of skirts. Okay.
Sure.
So skirts are real long. And then, well, they're going to come up a little bit and they're going to come up a little bit more. And there's going to be women who say, you know, well, that's too short. And well, I think that's okay. But then once the next level gets accepted, the next level is already starting to get some traction.
Sure.
So we shouldn't be surprised when the whole talk about sexual things has been in terms of, well, this person was born this way.
Right.
Okay. And so now why not say this person was born to be attracted to children?
Sure.
Or this person was born to have, you know, 10 wives or whatever. So I think it's just, we shouldn't be surprised, but we are when the next shocking thing happens. And then stuff in the schools, yeah, like you said, and there's a downplaying of anything Christian, mm-hmm. but an acceptance. I mean, I know two little kids who at home one day, two different kids, not related, plopped down in the lotus position, and they were taught at school that this is like a relaxation technique.
Wow.
Well, that's a Hindu worship pose. But if some teacher had said, let's put a cross on the wall and to relax, let's bow our heads and fold our hands. Why, that wouldn't have been allowed. That's Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But the Eastern religion stuff or occult stuff, it just had a friend's little boy. It was a video game that was introduced at school, and that level of game was okay. But then there were modifications to the game that the mother didn't understand. And when the child wanted to play this game at home with a friend, she didn't realize they were going into this other world in the game, and where you invoke demons. And the child really? Began, you know, having night terrors and waking up being choked. And they finally figured out, you know, it was related to this game. And so the game was introduced at school, a harmless form of the game. And the mother didn't know there were these other modifications to it. So I'm saying all this is like the one more step. You know, once there's something dark gets a foot in the door, it's just a matter of time before the next step comes along. And so there's definitely an anti-Christian move. Mm. And so all kinds of things are going to happen in all kinds of categories related to that, is my opinion.
I totally can agree with you. And what really, I hesitate to say the word shock, because it's harder and harder. It's getting harder and harder to shock me these days when I see so much happening. I remember when they first started talking about defunding the police, the Black Lives Matter movement said, mm-hmm. defund the police because police are racist, so we should defund them and bring in community social workers mm-hmm. in their place, which mm-hmm. I thought was lunatic the first time I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
But it really surprised me how many people started accepting it. You know, right. Yeah, we should defund the police. They're all racist or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you fast forward to a year later, and you have these crime rates soaring mm-hmm. to heights we hadn't seen before. Mm-hmm. And all the cities where the defund the police movement was strongest, like in Seattle and Portland and things like that. And what seemed to snap those areas to sanity, or at least to pause this defund the police effort, was that the midterm elections are around the corner. Mm-hmm. And because they are in jeopardy of losing political power,
mm-hmm.
now they seem to be awake to the fact that defunding the police is a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me think that there are a lot of people on the left are really just married to power and holding on to authority and not looking at the big picture of how some of their policies are hurting the people overall, long as they remain in power. Does it seem that way to you? Or?
Yeah. Well, you're back to marketing, right?
Yeah.
And so I think if the politicians see that something's going to get more votes, then they tend to switch their conversation. It's so sad. We should be able to speak honestly and then let people, you know, if this is what I believe, I should state it clearly. And if somebody doesn't want me, at least they know, you know, they know what I stand for. So I think you get a lot of marketing related stuff where politics are concerned. And also when you hear something enough times, this is like a brainwashing.
Mm.
So when you talked about, you know, when it started talking about defund the police and all police are racist and all that.
Right.
When you hear something on the news 54 times in a row, somehow your mind starts sort of tweaking in that direction.
Sure.
And so I think we are being marketed to in all sorts of ways, whether it's spiritual stuff, you know, just cultural stuff in all kinds of ways. And then if the news says things in the same way over and over and over, it's kind of in our heads, even though we don't realize we're being worked a little bit.
Definitely. I think I read somewhere, faith comes by hearing. So if you keep hearing it over and over, you start believing it.
Oh, there you go. There you go. There's the dark side of that truth, right?
Have you noticed this too? Now I have heard a lot, and now that I recognize it, I start to see it more, occult practices trying to become more mainstream, right? Yeah. So last year there was a concert where they were evoking some kind of satanic ritual in the concert, mm-hmm. and there was a stampede and some people died mm-hmm. because of it. I mm-hmm. saw that. And then I also noticed at a Super Bowl event, I think it was the last one or the one before, where they were doing some sort of satanic rituals during the Super Bowl event. And then someone else pointed out to me that when Black Lives Matter activists were kept saying, say their name, the names of the victims, that it's some kind of way related to another satanic ritual in a sense as well. I don't really know a lot about it, talk about it, but someone was mentioning that to me. Are you familiar with the examples that I spoke of? And can you elaborate a little bit more on those?
With some of that, people don't realize. Yeah. Just like I said, when I was a little kid and I liked, you know, I liked to watch scary movies, right? Mm-hmm. Dracula movies and Frankenstein and that. There's something kind of fun and cool about being spooky. And people don't realize there is actual dark stuff. And so people go dabbling in things and don't realize, you know, you're going to open some dark doors. So that stuff is happening. And I guess sometimes it seems edgy. And so that seems cool. And then where it concerns me is where it mixes with Christian teaching. And so you hear things like, there's like Christian Ouija boards. Okay.
So, what? I have never heard that before.
Yes. They're not, wow. It's not called that exactly, but it's the same kind of thing. So there is just tacking the word Christian onto all kinds of things right now. And I was afraid I'd forget some of this.
Well, yeah, you know what? Before we even get any further than that, I want to stop for a moment for a quick commercial break. Okay. But I want to, when we get back, I want to talk more about this Christian Ouija board.
Wow. Okay.
And how the mainstream is, how some people are trying to pervert Christianity and bring it into the mainstream, their perversion of it. This is, wow. Please stay tuned.
The Jim Strauss Show will return after these messages. This episode of The Jim Strauss Show brought to you by Conservative Television of America, working hard to stick socialism where the sun don't shine. Conservative Television of America is now available on Fire TV Stick, Roku, and on the Conservative Television of America website. Tune in now at www.ctva.tv. Conservative Television of America. We say what you're thinking. The Jim Strauss Show is back. Thanks for watching.
Hello, back again with Lynn Pratt. Fascinating conversation. Lynn, you brought up something I had never heard of before called Christian Ouija boards, which led us into a conversation about how somebody, or a lot of bodies, are trying to pervert the Christian message. I have never heard of a Christian Ouija board. How is that supposed to work?
Mm-hmm. Well, they call them angel boards.
Angel boards.
And so, see, that gives it a sound of being good and heavenly, but it's the same kind of thing. It's asking this board to talk to you. And so there's all kinds of, there are supposedly Christian tarot cards, you know, how the people read the fortune tellers, you know, read the cards. So those are tarot cards, but then there are supposedly Christian tarot cards. There, wow. So there's just tacking the name Christian to all kinds of things. There's a like a labyrinth, which is, you know, looks sort of like a magic circle kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I actually, that's an occult thing, but there was a church advertising a labyrinth walk. And so I went there and I went in and they had this, you know, you can buy these, it's like painted on a cloth and laying down on the floor and you walk this thing. And I said, I don't understand how this is supposed to work. And the lady in charge said, well, you just walk in and out. And I said, but I don't understand what's supposed to happen. And she said, well, I'll give you a little sacred object to hold. And it was a little church building. Give you a sacred object to hold. And you can say a sacred word and you just walk in and out. And I said, well, I don't understand what's supposed to happen. And she was just telling me, you know, let's say if you just some feeling you're having, you know, you just walk in and out until you don't feel this way anymore or until you feel something. So this is an occult practice where you use an object and a word and a place, you know, sacred word, sacred place, sacred object. That's sorcery. But if you put the word Christian in front of it, you know, Christian labyrinth. But see, so that's what's happening. Put the word Christian in front of it and sort of people would say redeem it for Christianity. But the Bible calls these things detestable. Don't have anything to do with it. So on my website, I have a handout called Nothing Sacred. And okay. it talks about these exact things, sacred words, sacred breath. But it's no different than if you know the old Andy Griffith show. I always use this as an example. Mr. Darlin would come down out of the hills.
Yeah.
And they would do these, you know, rituals. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you go stand under an oak tree at midnight and you have the beak of an owl and you draw a circle and you say some words and then something's supposed to happen. Well, that's sorcery where you're trying to manipulate certain forces or you have an exact formula to make something happen. And so the lady at the church trying to get me to do the labyrinth, see, it was the same thing. The labyrinth is supposed to be a sacred place. You hold a sacred object, you say a sacred word, and you make something happen. And that is completely against what scripture teaches. We're not supposed to have anything to do with that. You just talk to God that in prayer and he answers however he chooses. So there's this whole thing about trying to make mystical stuff or pagan stuff Christian by tacking the word Christian in front of it. There was a book called The Circle Maker, a Christian book. And it's based on some legend where a guy, you know, drew a circle and stood inside it and tried to make God answer his prayers that way. Well, that would be an occult practice.
Sure.
Trying to make God do something just because I'm in this circle. You know, we used to carry around rabbit's feet. Rabbit's foot was supposed to be lucky, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I remember this as a kid. People would, you know, if a guy liked you, he would let you carry his rabbit's foot. You know, well, this is a piece of dead animal. You know, and right. So, you know, God's not doing what I want, but maybe he will if I carry this thing around. I mean, it's all kind of silly if you think about it, but dabbling in this type of thing, you know, sometimes things happen.
Sure.
Sometimes
sure.
things happen with a Ouija board.
Sure.
Or a fortune teller or something. And then you can get drawn in further and further.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the danger. And it goes to reinforce people's belief in those totems, for lack of a better word, and that takes them on a pathway to something they will later regret.
Those things are always about either knowledge or power, right?
Yes.
So when you ask the Ouija board, you're looking for knowledge. And when you, you know, put some certain object in a certain place to try to make something happen, see, that's a power thing. Mm-hmm. And so that's the lure of anything like that. So, yeah.
The what do you think of this definition of witchcraft? It's a sort of my definition of it.
Okay.
It's seeking power without God. Because it seems like everything in it is just sort of trying to circumvent God's will, God's purpose for our lives to get something. It seems like we're just trying to circumvent God's power, God's will, and God's way of doing things to make ourselves God. So it's like witchcraft to me seems like it's seeking power without God. Is that a good
Right. Definition? Right. And so the part that's troubling to me then is trying to mix those things. Trying to mix the occult practice in with Christianity, like a Christian Ouija board or Christian tarot cards. There's also now, it's called contemplative prayer, but it's mantra meditation is what it is. And so this is why, if you read this in a Christian book, let's say a book in the Christian bookstore, sure. not necessarily a Christian book. But the word, you know, contemplative sounds like thinking deeply, and prayer sounds like talking to God, but it's not that. It's mantra meditation. And so the idea is to say words over and over for 20 minutes and then see something happens. You sort of go into an altered state and you might have an experience kind of like a drug high. And so people think they've connected with God. But it's the same thing as happens in various other religions. So Christians just think if they say something like Jesus loves me over and over, they're connecting with Jesus. And, you know, the Buddhists are saying the lotus, hail to the lotus, over and over. And they think they're connecting to something Buddhist, but it's all the same thing. That's not how we talk with God. We just talk.
Right. Right. Now I can understand how someone who may be new to the faith could be misled easily by these things, but there are, I'll say senior level Christians, people who maybe have been born into raised in the faith, accepted Christ thoroughly, and it just sort of stayed with them. But they still get distracted or confused or just misled by some of these new age teachings.
Right.
Like, for example, maybe, I don't know, burning sage. I don't know if you heard that before, burning sage in a house to make it clean.
Sage. Yes.
Yeah. That kind of practice. And so I know people who may have, you know, strong Christian beliefs, but they still indulge in some of this new age religion stuff.
And in my work as an editor, I one time had a book that I was supposed to edit, and it's supposed to be a Christian book, but the writer was suggesting all kinds of things. And one of them was a sage stick ritual, you know, burning sage that was supposed to cause something to happen. And there were other things in that book I can't quite recall now, but at the time I recognized them as occult practice. But see, most Christians have not studied this stuff, even ministers. This is not what comes out in the regular Sunday school lessons.
Sure.
And so something just sounds spiritual and we don't realize what the Bible says about it. And then if we're told by multiple popular books and teachers, there's that you know, hearing something over and over until it sounds acceptable. And then you sound, you're not cool if you don't think that's okay. You're old fashioned, right?
Sure.
You're not into these new ideas, and they're not new ideas. They're the old paganism just repackaged.
Sure. Sure. How can someone guard against these type of teachings? Cause as I said, there are people who, have a long, term relationship with the Lord, and they've walked with him for a while, but they still get misled. And I see it, of course, for someone who just recently was converted to the faith. So I could see how they could be misled. But what can people do to sort of safeguard that they're not being taken down the wrong path?
Yeah. Well, one thing is to like look up the scriptures that talk about these things. So in a concordance where you can look up certain keywords and then go to all the scriptures that mention those words, to look up words like sorcery, and especially in the Old Testament books, but also in the book of Acts, there's an account where all these people who became Christians, but they had formerly been into all kinds of pagan stuff, you know, and they gathered all those materials and burned them. Right. So there are lots of hints through the Bible. It's just those typically don't come out in our Sunday school lessons at church. And then also to just look up certain topics in the Bible or Bible commentaries. Sometimes the popular books on the market just have a verse or two of scripture and a lot of the authors talking. You know, it's the author's own words and not a lot of scripture. And it's better to just get in and study some of the scripture and, you know, pick certain passages of scripture and read commentaries that go into the deeper meaning of those things. They can also go to my website where it's lynnlusbypratt.com, and I write about some spooky stuff and what the Bible says, you know, what the Bible says about those things.
I know you were, just to diverge a little bit from our current topic, I know you were a missionary in Japan for a decade, give or take. What was that like? I'm curious about that as well.
Yeah, I wish I had studied more before I went about Buddhism and Shinto. That's the native Japanese religion, like ancestor worship.
Ancestor worship?
Ancestor worship. So thinking that when people die, you know, they become gods. Excuse me. Let me check something right here on my screen.
Sure. I saw somewhat of a version of that. There's a popular cartoon called Avatar.
Yeah.
Where the hero of the story, when he gets lost in some huge problem, he doesn't know what to do, he'll meditate and then talk to his ancestors, and his ancestors will give him the answers.
Right.
Is that sort of like what you're talking about?
Right. That involves, the Shinto involves ancestor worship. Okay. And so I wish I'd studied more about those things before I went, and then I would have recognized I think I could have done a better job, but yes, Japanese cartoons have a lot of that, and American teenagers love Japanese cartoons.
Yeah,
and of course, some of that stuff is spooky cool, right? But what we don't realize, my daughter was in Thailand for 3 years, and she would go and talk to the Buddhist monks at the temple there and have lots of conversations. And they asked her questions about Christianity, and they talked back and forth. And one of them, after several times, said about Christianity, "Your God makes it so easy." And so we don't realize that Buddhism, these world religions, are really quite heavy and dark. And, you know, anybody who doesn't know that might think, well, Christianity is just a bunch of rules, you know, but it isn't. Christianity is just, you know, do what God says and, you know, he'll take care of things. And these other religions are quite heavy with superstition, and you never know quite where you are. And I remember talking with some Japanese ladies and asking them questions about their religious practices. You know, why do you do this? What does this mean? And one gal started explaining, and she had never actually explained that out before. And she reached a certain point and then turned to her friend and she said, "This sounds kind of silly now that I say it out loud." Huh. And wow. So, you know, when you're brought up in something, you just sort of accept it and don't ask questions. But then when you investigate and dig down, you know, things need to make sense and not be silly. So actually, Buddhism is actually very heavy. And when my daughter left Thailand after being there and talking to these monks, one of the monks said to her, "You know all this that you told us? Tell everybody." This is a Buddhist monk telling a Christian gal, "Tell everybody about Jesus." So we have a sort of glamorized idea about what the other religions are like, but we're not seeing behind the layers. We're seeing just you know, certain levels of things.
Would you say a fundamental difference between Christianity and many world religions is that with world religions you have to sort of earn your salvation in some way?
Yeah.
Whereas with Christianity, it's freely given.
Yes, they are all works based. And only Christianity is different. Yes. Even the Catholic Church, which is considered Christian, you know, when you go to the priest and confess and he tells you certain things to do,
sure,
go say the rosary so many times, mm-hmm, or do this or do that. Well, that's you're trying to pay for your sins.
Oh, wow.
And Christian, if you think about it, and but Christianity, yeah, is the only thing where Jesus paid the price, and all you have to do is say yes and follow him. So the other things, you never know where you stand. With Buddhism and Hinduism, the reincarnation idea, you know, you never know what you did wrong or how much good you have to do to pay back the wrong. You know, you're supposed to have, you've come back in these different lives. So you don't know where you stand. And I mean, how icky is that? You know, that's heavy. That's heavy. And so Christianity is way light by comparison. You know Jesus, you know what you're supposed to do. He spells it all out, and you're not just wondering and wandering. So these things are very, very heavy.
Sort of makes me think about someone who's been dating someone for so many years, and you're like, "Where's this relationship going?"
Yeah.
Where do I really stand with you?
Yeah. You know? Right.
Stuff like that.
Right. And so the Bible says these things are written that you will know,
mm-hmm,
right? And there's so much in there about knowledge. And he's telling us what we need to know. We're not left wondering or having to pay on our own and wondering if we have paid enough.
Yes.
You know, he paid it. We just follow him. So true.
Mm-hmm. So true. I have enjoyed this conversation very much. Feel like I've learned a lot from you. If someone else is feeling the same way as I am, and I'm sure they are, and they wanted to get in contact with you to ask more questions along this wise, how could they reach out to you? Just go to your website?
Yeah, I can be contacted through, lynnlusbypratt.com. And besides the blog posts there on the More page, there are free like study handouts you could do with a Sunday school class or small group. Like I mentioned, the nothing sacred about all those things. And there are several things on there that are very useful. Thousands of hours of research boiled down into very simple terms. I like to do things on a junior high level.
Very cool. And I think that'll be interesting to someone who says, you know what, I know the Lord, I've been walking with him for years. I know I'm not doing any kind of witchcraft. But if they look at your materials, they might say, oh, wow, I hadn't thought of it that way. Maybe I am.
Yes, it has seeped into Christian books. And we have to be more on guard.
For sure. Lynn Pratt, thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate it. Thank you for being on the Jim Strauss Show.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, my time is up. I thank you for yours. I'll see you again real soon right here with a brand new episode. So until next time, bye-bye.